on-one lawn tools, and another listener question about cedar siding up next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
Okay, Brian, tonight I want to talk about whether there is a tool for the lawn to handle all of the tasks around the lawn. Not lawn mowing, but I'm talking about edging, trimming, maybe blowing leaves, perhaps pruning trees high up. Is there a tool that can do that? Actually, I kind of know the answer, but I want to know, is there a tool that will do it well?
And do all those different things?
Yeah. And
one tool.
One tool. And if there is such a beast, who makes it? What are my choices? And how well do they work? But we'll talk about that later in the podcast. And we're also going to talk about staining cedar siding.
Maybe staining, maybe not. We'll see.
All right. Well, let's give out our contact information.
Okay. You can always call us at our new number, 818-804-8665 or 804-TOOL. And you can also fill out our contact form on the website, www.handyguyspodcast.com. Or if you want us to call you back, just click on the little call me icon on the homepage.
It's time for listener questions with the Handy Guy.
All right, Brian, we got a question that is right up your alley.
How so?
And because it's about cedar siding, and I know you once owned a house with cedar siding.
Yeah, and didn't we talk about cedar siding a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, we did, but that in that case, I think the listener was trying to remove aluminum siding that was covering up his cedar siding.
Right.
In this case, we have a question about how to stain it. The question is from Jazz, I think his name is. He says, I bought a house with cedar siding. I live in northern Illinois, and according to the pre-purchase inspector, the siding is in fair condition. That's good, because cedar siding can last a long time. And it says it needs some sealant and to be retreated or painted. What kind of sealant and paint or treatment would you recommend? I want to keep the current color of the wood as best as possible. So in other words, a wood color, natural color, right. I assume is what he's referring to.
I assume it is what he's referring to. He doesn't say if there's already a stain on there giving him a color. But
right.
Let's assume he's got natural looking, that hasn't been stained a color.
Sounds like it's probably, since he said it needs to be sealed, it's probably
grayed and so
looks
forth.
Like it's fresh, yeah. You know, or cedar that, yeah. With nothing on it. I'm sure it was treated at some point. But
right. Well, I built an addition on my old house, and I put cedar siding on there, horizontal clapboards, and I was planning to paint it to match some other areas of the house that also had some, cedar lap siding on it. But when the material showed up, Paul, it was, you know, grade AAA, super clear, perfect boards, not a single knot in sight, and it just looked too darn nice to paint it to match the other parts of the house. So I decided I wanted a clear finish like Jazz wants.
Right.
And I did a little bit of research and tried to come up with something. And I found a product from a manufacturer that's not a widely known manufacturer, but it's called Sikkens, S-I-K-K-E-N-S. So I wrote Jazz back and I told him about this Sikkens product called Cetol 123. It's a little bit labor intensive.
It's not as easy as 1, 2, 3, as I recall.
Well, so the idea is, this is almost a film forming finish, which we don't recommend on cedar siding, you know, like a polyurethane or a varnish or something like that. But the idea is that the third layer will eventually sort of just chalk off like a stain might, right? And then you just renew it by adding the number 3 and the number 3. The idea is you never let it wear down over time beyond the number two coat.
Sure.
Right?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Sounds good in theory. The problem, and it looks beautiful when it's on. It looks really nice. The original color of the wood shows through. There's a little bit of darkening with the product, mm-hmm. like with any type of finish. Sure. But it looks really nice. The problem that I had with it was different exposures, southerly exposures especially. It tended to break down or degrade faster than other areas.
But that's true with any finish, isn't
that's
it?
That's true with any finish.
Okay.
And it needed that number three recoat every couple of years, really. But it's easy. You can just, you know, you just hit it with a hose first and you wash off any, you know, dust or dirt or anything like that and just slap on the number three with a brush.
So the oil-based finish?
It's an oil-based finish,
okay.
Yes.
So, okay, but if you have cedar siding, though, are you typically looking at yearly renewal or every other year? Is that it's like a deck? I guess
like
it probably depends
yes.
how much sun
with
it gets.
With this kind of finish and in a sunny area, especially on the southern exposure, you may want to put that number three coat on there every year.
Right.
Other sides of the house, maybe every 2 or 3 years.
Now, what if you use another kind of stain and you just put down a coat or two, like a, you know,
if you get a regular Cabot's stain for siding, you know, you can just, that's just a one coat system. You can put two coats on initially.
Right.
And then whenever it starts looking shabby, you just put another coat on.
So you just follow the directions of the manufacturer. They're going to recommend.
Follow the manufacturer's recommendations,
so,
right.
Read the manual.
Right. So I liked the Sickens product. When I sold that house, I'm curious, you know, it's kind of a system that's compatible with itself.
Oh, right.
Do you know what I mean
yeah,
by that?
You don't know what's happened since when they slapped on the Cabot's over top of the Sickens or whatever.
Right.
Or so, the Thompson's water seal.
Or whatever. So when I sold the house, I have no idea what happened to this. I didn't pass on the information about what I had previously used to the people
right.
that bought the house. And then they've since sold the house. So,
okay.
But yeah.
Well, it's good information.
Say new wood for the... or something without a previous finish for that Sickens
right.
product. Other than that, just go with a Cabot's stain.
Or something that's ranked similarly.
Right,
if you look out in the reviews. Okay, good to know. All right, up next, we're going to talk about that all-in-one lawn tool, if such a thing exists.
Okay.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, Brian, I want to trim the trees around my garden. I also want to edge.
You need a weed whacker?
Yeah, that's fine. You can use a string trimmer. I want to edge along my sidewalk.
So you need a lawn edger?
Right. Sure. You could use a string trimmer, but it is a real pain, especially if you...
Or you could just use a flat blade shovel, something like that.
Yes, you could use a hatchet.
Right.
And I also want to be able to blow leaves if possible.
Okay, so you need to get a leaf blower.
Right, and I need to be able to trim some branches that are fairly high up in some trees, prune some trees.
Okay, so you need some kind of pole pruner, or you need a ladder and a chainsaw if it's big stuff, or a handsaw.
And I want to reseed the yard.
You want to reseed the yard?
I just need to throw seed.
You don't need anything for that.
A spreader, right. And that would be a different tool. Okay. But all those other things, do you think I can do that
A hedge trimmer?
A hedge trimmer. Yeah, that would be good. But I need to get my hedges to grow. But yeah, that would be one.
Yeah, hedge trimmer, things like that.
Is that possible to do that with one tool? Because I'm thinking, you know, I'm out there with my string trimmer. I'm like, this thing's got a pretty decent engine on it, but... I don't want to get a separate engine for, you know, edger and a separate something else. Because every time you add another tool with its own engine, you need to maintain that engine. And
that's right.
That's the worst part.
That's you're right. And that can be expensive.
But if I had one good engine that I could just hook different things to.
Absolutely.
That would be a great solution.
I did just that.
All right.
I found some poor soul who could use my old string trimmer and I passed it down.
Right.
And
it still works, except it fell apart. But anyway, that's another story.
and I went out and got a still combi system, they call it, KOMBI.
Okay.
And I picked that up with a string trimmer attachment, with a brush cutting attachment. Then I picked up a leaf blower attachment for it.
Cutting, meaning it's got like what, a sharp blade that spins around?
It's got a sharp, you know, like you can cut saplings and stuff with it, you know.
Ankles.
you got to be really careful with it.
We'll get through a cankle.
It's a solid steel blade, Paul. It'll go through a lot of stuff.
All right.
You know, and there's special safety precautions with that, and the manufacturer will guide you there. I've got a cultivator attachment for it.
Oh, that's interesting. So I imagine that you can't really do anything too big with that, though. You wouldn't want to create a new garden, you know.
Sure. If you cut the sod out, take the sod out first.
Okay, you got to do the sod first, okay.
Which you're going to want to do anyway.
Yeah.
And you can dig in there and you can create a little flower bed.
That's
the
hardest part, though. That would be great if they had an attachment that would cut the sod for you.
So, yeah, the idea with this kind of a system, Paul, is that you can maintain one power head, one motor.
Right.
And there's lots of different attachments. I got the pole pruner attachment for it. I want to get the sidewalk edger attachment for it. So a lot of different options there.
So you
may spend a little more on the motor.
Right.
But you're going to get a decent one that's going to last for years. And
so I imagine, though, if you're going to do that, you want to make sure it's not only a reliable motor, but a fairly powerful one, because some of those attachments are going to require a little more power than just your string trimmer.
Absolutely. I think the cultivator probably needs a little more horsepower than the string trimmer.
The chainsaw
the
pruner.
The pole saw, is definitely going to need a little more oomph. And so then you're just maintaining those different attachments. You know, they've got blades and stuff that need to be sharpened, or string that needs to be
Which you'd have
renewed.
To do anyway if you had those tools.
Right. But yeah, it's been great. I've put that thing through its paces. I've done, trail work and things like that with it, and it's been great.
Now, I know that you have a steel model, or some people pronounce it still, but the website says it's pronounced steel.
Did I say
like
still
the metal
earlier?
I don't remember, but that's a really solid model and product. However, it's also going to hit your wallet fairly hard, right? Beyond your average, off-the-shelf string trimmer that you're going to find at a big box store.
Yes, absolutely. But if you look at it, look at the attachments that I bought for it, okay? String trimmer. If I just wanted a string trimmer, I wouldn't invest in that combi system. But if I wanted a string trimmer and a brush cutter and a gas-powered hedge trimmer,
right,
and a sidewalk edger, and one of those little mini cultivators like the Manis, and you add all of those things up, and it's going to be way more expensive than going with this combi system.
Okay, so it's pricey, but you get a lot for your money, and you have a company that stands behind it that people aren't sure how to pronounce.
And the steel, you're going to get at a local dealer.
Sure. I was going to ask you that. You can't find this at the big box stores or what?
The steel, no. Okay. You're not going to find that at the home center.
So you need to go to a local reseller. Usually it's a place that sells the chainsaws and the other steel products.
Right.
And the nice thing is about it, if you have a place near you that sells it, not only will they sell it, but they'll also service it if you have any issues.
Exactly. And the dealer where I got mine, They said, okay, after 90 days or a couple of months, bring it back in and we'll give it a tune up. We'll check it over, make sure, the carbs are adjusted correctly and the idle is set correct and things like that, which I took advantage of. So great service. It didn't cost any extra. And I could go in there and see the different models that they had, because they have some power heads with more horsepower and less. And I was also able to compare it to a similar system from Echo. They've got what they call the Pro Attachment Series. And the dealer also had the Echo products. And they also had some of the Husqvarna products. So I could see them all side by side, which had the most attachments, which had attachments I liked. I tried attaching, the different attachments, see how they went on and off, and got to power one up and try it. So it was definitely worthwhile working with a local dealer.
Okay, well, up next, I want to talk a little bit more about your real-life experience with the steel, and also what are the other companies that produce the similar products. You mentioned a couple already, and we'll bring up some of the different products you can look at that all have similar uses. So we'll do that up next.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
Okay, Brian, I want to talk about the competitors to the steel and find out if there are some other choices we have. But first, tell me about, you have this all-in-one. Did you find that it lived up to what it said it could do? Did you find that it had some strengths and weaknesses, and what were they?
Yeah, definitely. The as far as using the steel, Combi System is just a string trimmer because that's what I use it for the most. And
let me ask you a simple question. Yeah. As a string trimmer, did you find that I'm sure it had the power because it has a really good engine, but was it good? Was it too heavy? Did you have some compromises there because they were also making it work with other things that it wasn't,
not at all. I know exactly what you're asking. And I went from a relatively inexpensive home light string trimmer with a curved shaft that had been very, very reliable for me and, did what it's supposed to do and so forth, to the steel Combi System. It has a straight shaft, which a lot of people like. The pros use that style. And it works, yeah. It might be a little bit heavier, but I don't have anything to compare it to at that same level.
Was it balanced well?
Yeah, it was balanced well. It works well. The string changes are easy. So yeah, absolutely. It's good. I would say the one drawback with the Combi System, and this is going to be true, I would imagine, on all of them, is you need to make sure when you attach that attachment, whatever it is, that you have it fully seated before you lock it in. So if you lend it to someone or someone says, let me help you with this project, and they want to get the tool and change the attachment, if they're not familiar with how far the attachment seats onto the pole, they may not put it in all the way.
Will they or damage it?
Potentially. It has not damaged. Okay. But, there's some interlocking teeth, and I would imagine if they're not fully engaged that you could have some problems there.
Okay.
And all of the systems are going to work.
What
like
about
that.
The other tools?
I've gotten a lot of use out of the brush cutter.
Oh, yeah.
And because I've been working on building some trails at the campground, as you know, I've probably mentioned that before on the show. And so there were some different blade options there. It came with a 4-blade cutter, and the dealer recommended a 3-bladed cutter, which works better than the 4-blade. I'm not sure why that is, but it definitely works better. And I'm taking stuff out that's, inch and a half in diameter, saplings and so forth, and underbrush and hedges or thorny rose bushes that are growing in the wild, all kinds of junk.
What about the leaf blower?
The leaf blower is kind of funny looking. It's like
it's like your
a little jet engine attached to the end of your string trimmer, right?
So like your jet man or something like that.
but it works very well. It does what a leaf blower is supposed to do. And it moves a lot of air very quickly. It's probably not as, that might be one area where you're making a compromise over a professional style backpack blower as far as maneuverability, because you've got something that's, probably pushing 5 foot long by the time you get the blower attached to the shaft of the power head. So it's going to be a little less maneuverable than the backpack blower style, but it certainly moves a lot of air.
Okay, so overall it's pretty good, but like a lot of things, it's probably if you were to get like a higher end of each one of those tools, it's going to be better, but you're going to be spending a lot more money and have all the
Going to get a purpose. If you're going to get a purpose built tool, it's definitely going to be more ideally suited to that task, perhaps in some cases. I think it's not the case with the string trimmer or the brush cutter.
Okay.
But
Right, because that's where it's kind of that's what it's shaped to do. That's where it's most similar to. But when you get into the
like the
leaf blower,
the hedge trimmer, yeah. Right? So if you want to go and buy a long shaft hedge trimmer,
yeah.
It's going to be comparable.
Sure.
But most hedge trimmers, the motor is right next to the blade,
right?
Not 3 foot out,
right?
Right. So I would imagine you're making some compromises there.
Sure.
On the tiller. You know, there's companies that make purpose-built little mini tillers, right. Garden tillers. This is maybe a little awkward because it's, you know, at the end of a shaft, mm-hmm. and you're holding it like a trimmer versus holding it like a tiller.
Right.
Right? But, hey, I got a tiller for a lot less money than going and buying
sure.
a garden weasel or whatever they're called, right?
Right. I don't know what they are, but... yeah, I've seen some of them advertised. I just like to go out and rent the big boys.
The Manis. That's
yeah, the Manis. Called. Yeah, that's it. all right. Well, what are some of the competitors? You already mentioned Husqvarna.
Yeah.
They seem to have a comparable system.
You know, I wanted to look at them first because, and that's what brought me into the dealer. I had a catalog or something came in the mail, and I was looking at that. And I have a couple of Husqvarna chainsaws that have been extremely reliable. And I really like them. So I thought, well, let me look at the Husqvarna brush cutters and, mm-hmm. you know, what the options are there. And the dealer said, yeah, I can get that. He had one model. He had the string trimmer and a brush cutter attachment for it and didn't have all the other pieces to the system in stock. He said, I can order those for you and so forth. But take a look at the steel. And I said, okay.
You mean the steel?
The steel. And I did, and I really liked it. And I, like I said, I compared it to the Echo brand as well. And he talked me into the steel. He said it's been very reliable and a good seller for him.
Okay. And you also have John Deere that makes a trimmer that has some of the attachments.
Right. I looked on their website. I didn't see a full description of all the attachments with pictures like mm-hmm. you have on the steel website. But I did see a description that said there is... You know, these various attachments, you know, your trimmer and your brush cutter and your hedge trimmer and those type of things. So
Troy-Bilt as well.
Troy-Bilt.
You mentioned Echo.
And was Echo. That?
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other one is Ryobi.
Ryobi, yeah.
And you might find that in the big box store.
You might find that at the home center. That's probably the only place you're going to find it. You're not going to find that at a specialty, you know,
right.
yard implements dealer. But at the home center, you might find that. You might find something from Black & Decker. I know they have a cordless 18-volt system if you're into that. The Ryobi, a Black & Decker cordless battery-operated system. And
it looks like Ryobi has all the same kind of things. They have the trimmer, the cultivator, the edger attachment, the blower attachment, and the pruner, hedge trimmer. So my concern is... And I guess I'd have to go out and look on their website for their support, but they do. It looks like they do have service center locators because, you know, when you buy from the big box, I'm always concerned how you're going to get support if you need it. I'm putting in my zip code as we speak to see where Ryobi has service centers, but and it looks like
Kalamazoo, Michigan.
They let you put your zip code in, but there's no OK or any button to hit, and return doesn't work.
Nice.
That's helpful.
All right.
Maybe it's just with this browser. But anyway, so yeah, you definitely want to find out where you can get it serviced because if you're going to put that much money into something, you know, I want to make sure. It looks like HomeLight is also.
HomeLight has something?
They have a link there for if you're looking for Ryobi Outdoor Product Authorized Service Centers, click here and it takes you to a HomeLight. So your HomeLight is probably.
So HomeLight might make that engine for Ryobi and they just paint it blue and yellow, whatever the Ryobi colors are.
Yeah, yeah, that might be all it is. Who knows? They're all different. It's probably all owned by Black & Decker or something. I don't know.
But
it's owned by some, you know, who knows, financial company that also owns
right.
like Chrysler or something.
But
like
if Ryobi wants to sponsor the Handy Guys podcast, you can call yeah. us at 818-804-8665.
And we'll be glad to try it out and see if we like it as much as your steel.
That's right.
But if Steel would like to sponsor the podcast,
right?
By the way, this was not a paid sponsor for the Steel. Brian happens to own it. We thought it would be helpful to talk about it. I'm looking for something because I'm tired of having so many different tools. But you know, you still have the attachments. I don't know. I'm debating how much it's worth it. I imagine if you really do need all the different things and you're going to do a variety of work, then it might make sense if you know, if you're just going to do one or two, then it may, you may be better off just buying the
sure
particular tool. So
yeah, so you know, I don't use the leaf blower a whole lot, maybe a couple times a year. I've gotten a lot of use out of the brush cutter, the string trimmer I use every time I mow, cultivator a couple times a year, the pole pruner, the pole saw, I use that a little bit when I'm working on those trails sometimes. So it depends.
All right. Well, that's all we got this week. If you have any questions for the Handy Guys, be sure to email us at us@handyguyspodcast.com or use the contact form on our website. And we may cover your question on the air, but we always answer your question via email. So
Absolutely. Send
us your emails and we'll get back to you. That's all we got this week. We'll talk to you next week on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Thanks. Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.